Coming up this weekend, there is an online event that kind of falls into our COVID-19 arts conversations that we have been having of late here around Mosaic, and this involves alumni of Central Michigan University, and it is a reading of the American classic Glengarry Glen Ross. It involves Steve Berglund, still on the faculty at CMU Theater, and it also involves a number of CMU alumni, as we said, including one not only an alum of CMU, but of WCMU, as we say hello, welcome back to Andrew Papa. Good to talk to you, sir.
Good to talk to you as well. Always glad to be back on WCMU. Thanks for having me.
You're a native of Mount Pleasant, graduated with your undergrad from CMU, went on to get your Master of Fine Arts from Wayne State, and now are an assistant professor at U of D Mercy. Married man, oh my goodness. As I said before we actually turned on a microphone here, good that you have aged and I haven't. So that's the story I'm going to stick with, if it's okay with you.
I'll stick by it. It sounds good to me.
So let's talk about this very unique project. It's a reading of Glengarry Glen Ross by Mamet. And where did the idea come from? And I guess I frame that in the context of, was this something that folks were thinking of doing anyway and it became an online project, or because of the circumstances, people sort of came together to come up with an idea for something online, and this is the project that you were led to?
Well, it's sort of interesting. I got a text message pretty late in the night. I was up reading kind of late, and I got a text message from a friend of mine from the CMU theater program. These two guys I went to college with, Bob Pantalone and Matt Hayes, and they texted me and they said, "Hey, we're thinking of doing this this reading of this play. Would you want to join up?" And I said, "Well, sure." And they said, "Okay, well, we have this role cast. And I said, "All right, fellas, that sounds good to me. What would you like me to do? You want me to read stage?" I said, "That's pretty much the whole cast." And they go, "No, we want you to play this role." And I thought, "Oh, I forgot completely about that." So I said, "Okay, sounds good." You know, I think in general, the theater community, you know, not just in the Michigan area, although certainly, you know, connected to CMU, the theater community is very hungry to do art. And so much of what we do as theater artists is live, is in front of other people. And that's just not possible right now. And so I think theater artists, being creatives, are looking for creative ways to engage with one another, to engage with an audience. And this is one of the ways that we can do it, is to sort of create, you know, this events like these, so that we can engage with one another, to engage in what we do, you know, to bring dramatic text to life. And so I was honored that they thought of me to participate in all this. And I think it is rolling with the punches. This wasn't something that we necessarily thought, "Oh, we'll do this," and then, you know, COVID-19 happened. I think it kind of came about as a result of it. So in a way, it's a way to sort of find connection and create during a crisis rather than be sort of stifled and muted from creating in the first place. It's a way to engage in creative material any way that we can during these times.
On the faculty at U of D Mercy, an assistant professor there and an alum of Central Michigan University, and as we said, of WCMU, where he did a number of arts reports for us, Andrew Papa, who will be in the role of Blake in Glengarry Glen Ross when the reading happens this Saturday from 6 until 8. You'll be staging it as a Facebook Live event, so that is this Saturday, May the 9th, beginning at 6 p.m. Andrew, you brought up several good points, and it's come up in several of our arts organizations' conversations like this that we have had, where people, in a lot of cases, were obviously all forced into this situation because of COVID-19. Some of these things came about that they had even been kicking around as possibilities how they could do some virtual things, and the circumstances of the coronavirus just sort of sped up the timeline. It sounds like this, as you said, from the hunger of wanting to perform live and it coming about as the event that it will be this Saturday at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live. I wonder, though, if you begin to look beyond these times that we are in, does this present another avenue? So many people talk about life as we know it, or whatever the normal might be, could be a much changed thing from what we see now. Do you see this as a potential broader or burgeoning new audience for theater events to stage things this way when we get on the other side of COVID-19?
That's a great question. I think that this is very much these types of events, right? Events through trying to recreate live events through Zoom or through Facebook Live. Right now, as they are imperfect, right? They do not necessarily replace the experience of seeing a live play, nor necessarily should they replace it. I certainly am of the opinion that there will be another side of this, and that that these experiences will hopefully enrich what we do as theater artists. I do think, however, it will make us think about how we can still create as theater artists in times like these. For example, one of the things that we're, even exploring is one of the things that's become quite popular, and I think will continue to be popular, this is a little bit of artistic speculation, is I certainly think that scripted video projects and scripted audio projects, things like podcasts, scripted series, audio dramas, I think these are going to begin to take hold, because they will become avenues for artists to continue to create and to share those creations with audiences. So I certainly think that things like this could begin to develop further so that we can find new forms. This is merely a way for us to experiment and play. You know, I think sometimes people think, in the arts, we sort of dilly-dally around. But really, being in the arts is no different than being in the sciences. You know, in the sciences, they talk about, well, they go into the lab and they experiment and they try things out and they fail and they try and they fail and then they try and they succeed a little. And they try and they succeed a little bit more. And then they find something new as a result of it. You know, we think, oh, that's science. But that's also the arts. So I have no doubt that it's events like this that will help us go, hey, what in this works that we could adapt and develop so that we can find other forms to create?
And as we all long for the chance to get back in front of a stage to watch theater, back in front of a room full of the visual arts, back in front of a live performed ballet or concert and the like, you brought up new avenues. I wonder about new audiences. It sometimes is that challenge, especially with younger kids. You try to make the arts fun in a way and interactive, obviously, to continue to bring in younger people and pass all this on to the next generation. But in this age where people scroll and click on just about everything and anything, if it's marketed and promoted in such a way, this might allow some folks to tap into some of these things that once they watch a couple of them in the comfort of their own home or in a parking lot on their way into the store, might get them then, hopefully, when we all can, to start buying tickets and going out to these events, and maybe wishful and hopeful thinking, certainly trying to be positive, that this could mean a broader audience for the arts in some fashion at some point in time.
I could not agree more. I think that you're on the right track. Absolutely. That, you know, I mean, it's really fascinating. In the I worked when I was in grad school. I worked with a professional actor. He's a professional actor for 30 plus years. And, you know, he used to say all the time, you know, it's really interesting how people say sometimes when they talk about the theater, if they're very cynical, that, oh, well, theater's dying. And he goes, it's funny, people have been saying that theater is dying for thousands of years, and somehow it's still around, which was his sort of, sort of comical way of saying it is important that we continue to cultivate new audiences. We just have to get creative about it. And you're absolutely right. You know, this could very well become a tool for trying to get not just younger people. I think it's kind of interesting. I think that younger people, when they have time, are really interested in the arts. As people reach older age, they have more economic feasibility to pursue and support the arts. It's actually sometimes people in the middle. It's young families. Those are the audiences that we crave and we want to continue to come. And so the challenge could become, how do we get people with young children? How do we get young families? How do we support them so that they can feel like they can go out and enjoy the arts as well? And these times could be ways for us to creatively think about how to do that and cultivate, not just cultivate those audiences, but sustain them so that they keep coming back. It's not just a one-time thing, that this becomes a part of their regular life.
CMU alumni, including Andrew Papa and a CMU faculty member, longtime faculty member Steve Berglund, participating in an alumni reading of Glengarry Glen Ross Facebook Live Saturday the 9th between 6 and 8 p.m. You all chose and came to this classic to present in this way at this time. Another thing that I have talked with folks with in these other arts organizations where we've had these talks, Andrew, is the idea, of course, that extraordinary circumstances, positive but quite often the negative, give birth to an amazing wealth of creativity. And I wonder, from your perspective or those that you work with and affiliate with, if people have started to have conversations of how the presentation of new and original arts in any form, whether we talk about theater, music, and so forth, what the inspiration of this time will do to shape the creation of the art that we may see down the road?
That's a great question. I really think there's two avenues, you know, because I think one of the things that real theater artists are very sensitive to is that we are also audience members. You know, we as theater artists are out there, you know, taking in content, absorbing content. So not just because, you know, we want to know what our audiences think, but because we enjoy what we do and we want to also be viewers and observers of what we do. I think there's going to be two developments that end up coming from this. And again, maybe pure speculation, but I get the sense that audiences are really going to crave kind of two different channels, and they may go back and forth. One is, you know, what are the artistic stories that develop from this crisis that make us, that help us sort of evaluate, that help us reconcile with it, that help us move past it? What are those stories that are unique to this time that will help us understand and sort of grow from it? I also think that audiences will also crave anything that has nothing to do with the crisis. And maybe that sounds escapist, but, you know, escapism is sometimes given a bad rap. I think that audiences will also be looking for those things that help them elevate out of this crisis. Stories, classic stories or new stories that have a warmth to them, that have a sense of hope or a sense of humor. I think that audiences will crave both, and I think it's our responsibility as theater artists and as teachers to cultivate that and to well, it sounds like give the audience what they want, it's also giving us what we feel like we need as artists in our creation. So I think having both of those as possibilities is vital for what we create and how we communicate that to our audiences.
So a couple of concluding thoughts, Andrew, and we certainly do appreciate the time. Again, it is on Facebook Live Saturday the 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. How will folks link to this, and how remote will all of you be? Not to totally pull back the curtain on Oz, but how the coordination of linking this together in some social distancing? I mean, will you be positioned in a bigger room but a distance from each other? How is all this coming together?
So it's coming together. My understanding of it, based on the work that I've done, is that all of the performers are in separate areas. There might be one or two who live together, and they will obviously be in the same room. But otherwise, we're all remote. We've got actors in Detroit. We'll have actors in Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, all connecting live to this event. As you said, through Facebook, I believe it connects out to Zoom or something like that, but information can be found on Facebook about it. And again, you know, this is kind of a unique thing in that, you know, in no other way could artists in all these different locations connect at the same time and do something like this. So this is very unique to the time, and it's really quite remarkable, and I think it's going to be a great deal of fun.
The classic Glengarry Glen Ross, CMU Theater alumni, doing this, as we've now heard, from many different locations, coming together on Facebook Live Saturday the 9th, beginning at 6 p.m. in the role of Blake, WCMU and CMU alum Andrew Papa. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us. And as we have closed many of these conversations with the common theme for all of us involved in the arts, stay home, stay safe, and stay creative.
Thank you so much, David. I really, really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to talk with you as always. And I certainly wish everyone at WCMU the best as well, and to stay safe during these tough times. And any way you can, support the arts. Continue to engage in that because we're here for you. Even if it's remotely, artists are here for you.
Well said, my friend. Take care. And well, I guess you can still break a leg even if you're all in different places, right? As the old theater adage goes. And again, that is on Facebook Live Saturday the 9th at 6 p.m. for the reading of Glengarry Glen Ross. Andrew Papa speaking with us from Detroit here on Mosaic on WCMU. Good to catch up with you, my friend.
Good to catch up with you as well. Take care.